going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Closing the Deal. I'm one of your hosts, Zach Dixon. Sitting across from me on my screen today is Sam Enright. What's going on?
What's happening? How are you?
Oh, fantastic. I'm super excited about the prospect of what we got in front of us today.
Yep, we're going to just have a little talk today. We're just going to talk about what's going on in our lives and, you know, shoot the bull, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah, we're going to have a good one. We're going to have a good time. I would say for the listeners, all of our episodes previously have been not safe for work. We're going Pat McAfee style today and letting it all fly. So just a disclaimer out there for the listeners, just in case.
Yeah, we'll see how it gets, because I feel like when I get in front of the camera, like, you know, the curse words just leave my brain. I don't know. You ever like, I've noticed, like, so my grandparents, like on my dad's side, not big cursers at all. So like for some reason, like over the years, like whenever we've gone around that side of the family, like just somehow that part of my brain just shuts off. Like I don't even think about curse words. I don't put them in anything that I talk. And then you talk to me outside of work, and or not outside of work, but outside of that, you know, zone. And I mean, I do curse. Like I'm not going to say that I don't. So it's just always funny. It's like, how does our brain know to just shut up and not say those sort of things in certain scenarios? You know what I mean?
That's a good question, because we have been pretty clean on the episodes too, all in all. Like, I think there's only been a couple of instances where we've had to edit out a couple of words throughout our 20 episodes that we've dropped. So we've been pretty clean on the episodes as well.
Yeah.
But that's the disclaimer that Pat uses on ESPN. This is how grown-ups talk. If you don't like it, tell your parents, something like that. I don't know.
I mean, it's definitely become like more, I mean, I don't know about that show specifically. I don't know if they'd be dropping F-bombs. But
oh, they
like,
do. Oh, they do.
Oh, yeah.
On ESPN, like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, on obviously, you know, like College Game Day, I know like Nick Saban was catching some flack because he was saying like damn, ass, and all that stuff. It's like, you know, who really gives a shit at the end of the day?
Honestly,
I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not that serious. I mean, I get, you know, kids and all that, but, you know, I'm sure, you know, that, you know, what they say when we were growing up, they hear worse in school. You know what I mean? You walk down the hallways and, you know, I'm sure there's kids out there cussing like sailors. So
teachers too, I'm sure. I think we know one.
Oh,
shout out Durag wherever he's at.
Oh man. Yeah. He's going to love that one.
Yeah, he will. He will for sure.
Oh man. So, I mean, what do we got going on? What's new in Zach's world, you know, other than, you know, inviting friends to do things and then, you know, uninviting friends. Had to take a chance. You know, I had to take an opportunity there.
I knew we were going to get there at one point. Yeah.
I mean, might as well get it out of the way early.
Yeah, I'm a piece of shit for sure. All in all, just a piece of shit.
Oh, man.
So backstory. Shane Gillis was coming to Columbus at the beginning of April to do a comedy show at Nationwide Arena. The tickets dropped probably like last November or so.
It was November. I remember very clearly.
I asked Sam and Jordan if they wanted to go with Cameron and I. To go to the Shane Gillis comedy show, and they did verbally tell me yes at that point. I can confirm.
He also did verbally say, I will get the tickets, and I said, okay, let me know, and I will give you the money for the tickets. But Zach Dixon is one of those people that will wait until the week of, you know, even though he'll ask 6 months in advance. It's just so funny because I remember the text message to this day. What do you guys have going on April 5th, 2025 in November of 2024? I'm like, bro, I got no clue what's going on April 5th, 2025. Like, what's up? You guys want to go to Shane Gillis? Oh, yeah, absolutely. That'd be fun. All right. Yeah, I'll get the tickets. No words
were
said.
Never got the tickets.
No words were said. I mean, I was like, you know, I didn't reach out to him about it. I didn't, you know, push the envelope, as some would say. I didn't say, hey, bro, what's up with Shane Gillis, you know, as time got closer. So I just figured, you know, hey, we're just not going to go. No big deal, you know, right? Not going to go. Well, what happens? Zach, go ahead, tell him. We were sitting down watching the Masters, and still to this point, I had no idea that this all even happened. I'm just thinking, yeah, I guess we're just not going. or we didn't go. And please tell us, you know, what details were dropped that day that we were sitting around.
So the Masters was probably like 2 weeks after the fact. Okay, number one, I could have swore that I said something in the chat afterwards, after we went.
You didn't.
Okay, well, that's on me again, number one. Number two, we did not buy the tickets until the day of the show. So we were not committed to going. We, as in me and Cameron, we were not committed to going. We chalked it from the last conversation with Sam and Jordan. And then the day of, I just happened to look at Ticketmaster and they were very expensive and we didn't have anything to do that day. So we said, you know what, we'll drop $300 and buy the Shane Gillis tickets. And I said,
not to mention, yeah, they were like $80 in November. Hey, bro, they're like $80. All right, sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're sitting there. You know, one of our buddies brings up Shane Gillis. Yeah, I heard it was hilarious. And Zach's like, yeah, it was a good time. I just look over at him. I'm like, what you mean it was a good time? He's like, oh, yeah, we went. Cameron and I. Nice. Sweet, bro. Thanks for that. No words were said.
A real piece of shit, no doubt. A real piece of shit because, yeah, I just made the assumption since that they got more expensive and it was the day of. I'm just like, all right, we're just going to do this real quick and order them. And that was definitely the second mistake that I made. The first mistake was not buying them in November. So that is completely on me. And I hope that you can forgive me for that because it was a big fuck up. I feel really
it's already forgiven. It's just not forgiven. So, you know, the whole forgive and forget thing, that's just not how I operate. So I will be sure to definitely give you shit for that for many, many times to come. And, you know, there's still somebody who hasn't even gotten to the point of even seeing you to give you shit. So, you know, just be expecting that on the horizon at some point as well. And I also haven't seen your wife either. So, you know, she'll be getting a little flack from me, you know, when I see her as well. So it's only been us two so far. Scratched
the surface, huh?
Yeah, I've only scratched the surface of what, you know, there's just a lot of ways we could go with this. You know what I mean?
It's all deserved. I can't lie to you. It's all deserved. I'll wear it. I mean, it's my fault.
I should have known. The writing was on the wall last year when, you know, you as a wedding gift were going to take, you know, one of our buddies to, you know, the Browns-Bengals game. And, you know, those tickets were not purchased until the week of that game as well, even though the schedule had been out for 3 months and the conversations had already been had for quite some time. And yet, you know, we're still waiting until the week of to purchase those tickets. So the writing was definitely on the wall. That's on me. I should definitely wear that for just not, you know, just expecting better. So I'll own that one as well.
I think we found a little trait of mine that I need to get better at. Buying event tickets before the week of.
Hey, you know, we all have friends who are Indian givers when it comes to plans. You know, they'll invite you at one time and then they'll just revoke the plans later. So, you know, I'm sure this is relatable on all fronts for somebody out there.
Well, that was the last time it'll happen. I can't confirm.
Oh gosh.
I can confirm.
Oh man. Yeah, we'll see. But so I mean, other than that, you know, yes, we did get together for the Masters. If any of you guys watched that, you know, it was a monumentous day in the world of golf, that's for sure.
It really was. All in all, it was it was rivaled to 2019, in my opinion. 2019 lives in my heart forever and will forever do so. Tiger Woods is my guy, but this 2025 Masters really from start to finish was just enthralling. There were so many good golf shots. The golf course played perfect. And there were so many bad golf shots too. I think that's what I liked the most about it all. Like there were just some shots that I was like, I could fucking hit that. I can do that. I can hit it into Rays Creek with 80 yards with all the green on the left side to work with. I can absolutely block a wedge. I can do that.
And with 25 yard, with 25 feet of slope to work with on the left as well, that it would actually legitimately feed the ball closer to the pin.
Yep.
And yet we still went directly at it.
That is legit a shot that I would make though, like to a tee.
Yeah. I think it was awesome. No laying up. Neil and No Laying Up, he talks about why he loves Rory so much. And he said it's just because it just reminds him of himself, because it's just like you can hit just, well, we all can't necessarily hit the ball quite like Rory when he's at his best. But my God, when he messes up and does stupid shit, I mean, we all can relate to that, because it's like you said, sitting there watching you duff a wedge in the creek from 80 yards. Like, yeah, I can relate to that wholeheartedly. That's something I would definitely do.
Especially after the choice to lay up, like that probably is the fact of our matter too. Like if we would have probably went after it, we could probably get on the green in two. But most times my dumbass decides to lay up because I think that's the higher percentage play or better play. And you know what, Rory, it is not the higher percentage play. You should have went for it, brother. I promise you would have hit the green in two, just like you did the previous 2 days before that. So,
yeah. It'd be different if it was like a forced layup, like, hey, you know, blew it trees in the trees, way. Like, yeah. gotta get it down there. But it seemed as if, though, the plan from the tee was literally lay back with three wood, get it in the fairway, put ourselves up there for a number for, you know, shot number three, and then, yeah, just block it into the water. That's a great plan. So, but I mean, it did make for a great viewing experience all in all, because it brought Justin Rose back into the, you know, back into the fold, who somehow went out and made 10 birdies on that golf course on Sunday, which honestly is just insane when you really sit back and think about it.
Sunday, then, on a major at the Masters. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But going back to Rory and just the things that we can kind of relate to versus not relate to, when you go two holes later and he has put all of that behind him, he ended up bogeying 14, obviously, too. So he doubled 13, bogeyed 14. So three over through two holes. And to be able to kind of put all of that behind him and hit probably the shot of the tournament on 15 into the green is just something I can't relate to, unfortunately, because I probably would still have been holding on to that double on 13 and the bogey on 14, and that would have let that trickle into 15 and likely would have made double or something higher, put the ball in the water, did something bad. So just on the flip side of things, like that's just something that we can't relate to, is hitting that absolute seed into 15.
I know we can't relate to it, because I can't even turn the ball that much. I mean, the fact that he was literally blocked out by the tree, I mean, that was a huge rope draw around there. And just, yeah, I mean, they talk about, I mean, obviously neither of us have been blessed enough to set foot on Augusta National, you know, in any aspect. So, but I know I've listened a lot to podcasts, and they talk about, you know, when you sit up in the grandstand on 15 and you realize just how narrow that green actually is. And then you think about the fact that they trim the bank down, and so anything that's short is going to feed back into that water. The greens are lightning freaking fast as is. So, I mean, we already watched it on, what was that? I mean, we watched it on Thursday. He literally chipped over the green and, chipped on the green, but it rolled right through. And so it's just like to hit that. But then it was just like, it was so Rory to hit that and then miss the eagle putt as well, because it was just like all that momentum was there. You stuffed it to like 7 feet and you still came away with I mean, if the eagle had been dropped there, that's probably the tournament in general. You don't really, I mean, I guess maybe 17 doesn't happen because you don't need it to, you know, but maybe it still does. And, you know, then you're too clear, and the bogey on 18 doesn't really matter at all, which again, just, I mean, I could, again, 125, you know, hit an absolute hellacious seed straight down, like in position A, and then to just, you know, block it right into the bunker, you know, right there. It's just like, yeah, you know, with all that slope to work with, you know, you got about 15 feet of slope on the backstop. You got 120, which likely for Rory is probably a 52, somewhere in there, a gap wedge, you know, into that green, and to know that you have that backstop to work with and then to just block it right in the bunker. It's just, I mean, it's just, it was truly what you would expect. It was an absolute roller coaster from beginning to end. I mean, let's not forget the fact that he started off with double bogey to start the day. I mean, with probably one of the worst putts I've seen, you know, putting back up for his par, you know, there to just run it by the hole. And then, you know, just, yeah, it's just like, what are we doing, bro?
That was a Zach Dixon special, except he didn't come back and hit the comebacker.
Yeah. I mean, he should probably hit you up.
I could probably give Brad Faxon a little bit of knowledge, huh?
Listen, here's what you do, all right? Anytime you're in doubt, you bullet 9 feet past the hole and then bury it coming back.
But he was an inch away from being perfect position A on that hole too, like on the, with the drive, like literally 1 yard away from having 100 yards in on that hole. Again, same thing on two.
Yeah,
probably a foot away, a yard away from being all the way down the hill and having 200 yards in for eagle. But going back to 15 and missing that putt, like it's so Rory, absolutely. But it was so Rory to do it again on 16 too. He threw a dart on 16 to like 7 feet. Could have made birdie there. Missed that putt. It's like, and then you want to go make a 200-yard approach shot to 2 feet. Like that shot, I don't think we can even put that. Might be the shot of the tournament, to be honest with you. 17 with the pressure that he had on him to have to make a birdie. And 200 yards out, like he hit his three wood like 240 yards on that tee shot. Like that is crazy for Rory to have 200 yards in on a par four. And it was above his feet. Like it was just a very, very difficult shot. I think I saw the probability of it going in within 2 feet is like less than 1%. And he did it.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, dude, he was like, anything 175 and over, like he was like, yeah, bring it to me. Like I want that. You know what I mean?
A flip wedge. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, I mean, you stuff the draw on 15, you're, you know, sitting at one, you know, I can't remember the number exactly, but he was at least 175 to 200 out there. And then, you know, to have that again on 17 and then it's just like, dude, you throw these darts with these longer irons and then you get on 18 and you have this wedge and it's just like, what are we doing? Like anything on the green there. I mean, I guess obviously the top shelf's not going to do you any good because that's going to be absolutely just disgusting coming back down the slope and trying to keep that close. But I mean, how big that green is in the front, even before you get to that ledge of the back, like there was just so much room there. And then to just put it in the bunker, you know, it was just classic, man. And think about Pinehurst last year, 3 bogeys on the last 4 holes. Just like it's been extremely hard for him to get it done. You could obviously see in the emotions, obviously the amount of physical toll that this has taken on him because it's just like, it was just a rush. And even he said in his interview, like it was no joy. Like it was literally just relief at first. Like in those first 5 minutes after, it was just like, wow, you just see what like, even he talked about it, everybody was like 11 years, but it was really like 14 because, you know, 2011, yeah, just that absolute, you know, tragedy that happened on that back nine that day. But definitely cool. Definitely an awesome moment. I mean, you know, from a golf perspective, I thought it was better than 2019. You know, when, you know, 12 came down, obviously there was a lot of drama leading in, but when 12 and then Tony Finau goes in the water, Francesco goes in the water, Brooks Koepka goes in the water, you know, all these guys are going in the water and Tiger just stuffs it there, you know, middle of the green, you know, just a true professional shot. Like, yeah, not going for the pin, you know, we're not even going to mess with it. And, you know, that was the drama. And then obviously Francesco on 15 hitting the branch and duffing it in the water, you know, on that one. So down the stretch though, like to get the playoff and just everything, that was, you know, definitely the more, I guess, you know, what you're looking for drama for golf. Cause I really, after 17, I was like, there's no way he loses this tournament. And then he goes on 18. I'm like, there's no way he wins this tournament. And then it's like, you know what I mean? Cause you got a guy who's freaking, you know, hot, who's
putting the lights out of it.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. And just another aspect of being able to kind of relate to him, like you could genuinely see how nervous he was on some of those shots. Like it was visible on his body language. Like you could tell that he was just genuinely nervous and those things were kind of affecting the way that he was playing golf. And I don't think I usually see that with professional guys. They are the best at handling their emotions and not letting those emotions kind of affect their physical play and physical swing. And I can't relate because
I would have been chattering there on 18. Like what is going, you know what I'm saying? Like my heart rate, I would love to, I don't know. I haven't seen it on his wrist. I don't know if he changed the position. Like, I don't know if he's like wearing the bicep whoop, like JT and like Scotty do now. Cause I know Rory was wearing the whoop there for a while on the wrist. I don't know if he changed it, but I would love to see the whoop stats from the Masters of like where the heart rate was at, you know, during some of those shots. Cause I mean, you got to believe it was definitely up there. I mean, and not to talk about like 18 again, but like that was in and of itself, like to after what you did in regulation, to hit the same exact drive and then have the basically the same exact wedge in there into this time, then put it to 4 feet. It's just like, I can't relate to that part of it. I can only relate to like the negative sides. You know what I mean? I can only relate to like the duffing the wedge in 13 of just like, man, you know, you just, yeah, that makes sense for me. Like that's something I would do. You know what I mean? And then it's just like, you know, yeah, I can't relate obviously to 15 at all. You know, that shot was just insane. But like to come back after that, you know, especially with Rose playing so hot and just like not sure what you're going to get, which I mean, it was weird too, because I mean, Rose drains that putt on 18, but like on 17, it didn't even look like he had let the nerves get to him, because on the tee shot, he backs off, asks the patrons behind, hey, quiet, don't move, whatever. And then even on the fairway, they're again like, hey, quiet. You know what I'm saying? It's just a lot of interaction with everybody going on around him. It's like, bro, what is going on with you? Like, you need these cats like in utter silence. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, and then you get up on the green and he misses the putt. And it's just like, man, you know, you feel like the nerves have gotten to him too, because it's like, dude, I have a chance to win this tournament. I was 7 shots back to start the day, and now I have a chance to win this tournament. And so he makes bogey there. But then to come back and just stuff the putt on 18 is just insane.
Mm-hmm. Saturday lost it for him, in my opinion. Obviously, the day that he on the greens on Saturday was atrocious in comparison to the rest of his tournament. Like, it was, I don't even know how. We talk about roller coaster with Rory, but just I don't know how you even go from that well of putting on Thursday, that well of putting on Friday, to horrific putting on Saturday, to right back up to the top level putting that you saw on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
If he would have putted, I mean, even just badly on Saturday, not horrific, he would have won, literally.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy for him too, because I mean, last time there was a playoff at the Masters, he was in it, lost to Sergio. Mm-hmm. Next time, you know, loses to Rory. And so, I mean, the dude's numbers at the Masters are just insane. You know, it's just one of those guys where you're like, how do you not have one of these, you know, green jackets yet? But, I mean, I guess really, how do you not have another major in general? He seems like kind of one of those guys that, like, not obviously some of the newer guys who have won, but like in that older segment, like who is just like, how do you not have more than one major? Like when I look at like the Patrick Reeds, when I look at like the Sergios, when I look at like their play, you know what I'm saying? Like they have those outlier years. I mean, I know Patrick usually always plays well at the Masters, but you know, it's just crazy that, you know, Justin Rose doesn't have another major at this point, because I feel like he plays some proper golf.
He does. And I mean, I want to say that he's going to get another one, but it just, you know, when you look at golfers' careers, this kind of mid 40s, when guys kind of start, you know, going on the up and up in the mid 40s, that's usually, generally speaking, the last kind of window that they have on the PGA Tour specifically. So I want him to get another one. Do I think he will? I'm going to go with no.
Yeah. I mean, the opportunities are definitely running thin at this point. So, I mean, it could come out and surprise us, of course, you know, but I mean, he has obviously played well in the last two. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I think this would be if there was a year, this would be a good year. There's some good events coming up and some good places. But, you know, I think ultimately my takeaway, we were talking about this in the group chat, was just that this now frees Rory up. I mean, I know, you know, a lot of people, you know, he talked about it himself. Like, this was my dream. Like, I literally completed my dream. I wanted to win all four majors, and now he has. So, you know, a lot of people think you could go two ways with it. You could think, yeah, it's time to, you know, all right, he's got it. Now what's the driving factor? You could pack it in. It could just be, yeah, I don't care as much anymore. But like for a guy like that, who's already done what he's done in the sport, I just feel like this frees him, you know, because I went back and I've watched some of the events like Pine. Like if you go look at that dude's record in the US Open in the last like 6 US Opens, it's actually insane that he does not have another US Open title, because he has played so freaking well. I'm pretty sure he's top 10 in the last 6.
Top two in the last two.
Yeah, if you Wikipedia his page and you look at the US Open specifically, like on the Wikipedia, they'll highlight in yellow the finishes that are top 10, and literally across the board for one of the majors, and I'm pretty sure it's the US Open. A little confusing because they switch it up and then they just do it. And I know that they've now moved the PGA to May, even though it was originally the last major. But yeah, it looks like, you know, the dude has just been insane in the US Open. So last year could have got it done. I mean, he easily could have won at LACC as well. Like, he literally did not make a birdie in the last 17 holes on that golf course. So just insane, man. But I know there's a lot of other guys out there that, you know, got to get one at some point as well.
I agree with that. And that actually gets me thinking about something else. You know, who's going to grab the first major of the year on the 2025 Friends Tour, you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something we got to talk about, you know, because, I mean, just by, you know, just a great guy, you know, coming out saying, hey, you know, we need to get the group together more often every year. We need to do something a little bit more competitive, you know, and really just took that idea and ran with it and put it out there for us. So, you know, major shout out to you for putting together the Friends Tour. We have not yet started this year. Our first event is next weekend, but we are all very much so looking forward to it. By the time you guys hear this podcast, we will probably, and we might even be on to event two or three at that point, but you know, it's definitely going to be fun. I'm excited.
Me too. You know, above all else, the competitive juices need to be just kind of got going again. You know, like it needs to get turning in there a little bit. But you know, just obviously, like you mentioned, we've done a couple of Ryder Cups in the previous years. And so those have been really, really fun weekends of getting, you know, 12 to 16, 18 guys together and competing. And so kind of, you know, magnifying that on a little bit bigger of a scale is just going to be a lot of fun all in all across the summer, across, you know, a golf season all in all, and being able to do an individual side of it plus a team side of it. Like, there's just a lot of, there's a different aspect to pretty much all of the events. And so it's going to be a lot of fun all in all. We have a wide range of handicaps. I think you and I are the lowest handicaps at 4 and 6. And then we go all the way up to like 27. So it should be a good wide range of talent, good wide range of golf. And I think it's anybody's FedEx Cup to win, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, obviously when you're stroking events, you know, that brings everybody into the fold. And I mean, that as much shit as I give the handicap system, because I do believe it does deserve shit from time to time, because I get the overall premise of it. But, you know, I've always been a guy who, you know, likes to play things straight up. I mean, I get it, obviously, if I'm squaring off against somebody who's a, you know, 25 handicap and I'm a 4, you know, that's obviously not fair without strokes, because, you know, 10 times out of 10, I'm going to beat that person. You know, I just think obviously when you get a little bit closer in handicaps, you know, playing straight up is just the way I like to do it. But some of that's on me for not, you know, reporting scores correctly, you know, but, or not, I guess not reporting scores correctly, but not reporting scores at all, you know, to, you know, kind of help bolster that number, which is just idiotic. In my, you know, just a reverse sandbagger, you know, just that's what you guys can call me. I am guilty as charged of that from time to time. You know, if I shoot a bad score, I've kept it off the app so that I don't have to watch it go up. But, you know, that's you know, no longer the methodology, you know, because when I'm giving up freaking 4 strokes around to a guy who's really shooting the same exact scores as me, that I'm gonna lose 9 times out of 10.
Yep. But honestly, all in all, the fact of the matter is that golf is pretty much the only sport that unequitable talents can play together against each other. And that's why I'm thankful for the handicap system all in all. It may be flawed, or it definitely is flawed, but just to be able to play with, you know, whatever age it may be, you know, an 85-year-old guy that you meet on the tee at the golf course. If you guys want to play a game, you can play a game. If you guys both have handicaps, if you wanted to play against Scottie Scheffler, you could literally play for money against Scottie Scheffler if you have a handicap, because again, you can kind of make it equitable and make sure everybody's on the same footing. And so that is one thing that I enjoy about the handicap system in golf in general, because there's no other sports really like it. You can't really make it other sports talent equitable to be able to compete 1v1 or 2v2, 3v3, et cetera. So I do appreciate golf on that aspect of things, and the handicap system in general, and allowing us to have a little bit of a fun time this summer with the Friends Tour. It'll be a good time.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part, everybody that, you know, is competing has been an athlete at some point in life. I mean, a lot of people, when, you know, once you're out of high school, once you're out of college, you know, that competitive stuff just stops completely, because like you said, a lot of the sports, I mean, it's really hard to get together a group of guys to go to a baseball diamond and play some baseball. You know, I would say the easiest one to make happen is probably basketball. I mean, I know some of our friends still get together for the, you know, the 5v5 runs, or, you know, whatever that is. But, you know, ultimately, you know, start getting up there in age and, you know, that stuff ain't as easy. Yeah, it ain't as easy as it once was. You know, you got no hops, you know, you ain't shot a basketball and, you know, you haven't shot a basketball in months, and you're airballing everything. So, you know, it's just, it is nice. And that is one thing I appreciate, because like you said, I mean, we have it all. I mean, I would say we definitely have far more high handicaps than we do lower. I mean, we got a couple of guys hovering right around that 10 area, and then really everything else is 15 and up. You know, for the most part, and there's only like three of us that are below, or three of us that are in single digits. So it's definitely a good mixed bag, and, you know, brings those guys in who, you know, yeah, maybe you usually shoot 110, but if you can go rattle off, you know, a 99 or a 101, you know, with your strokes, you're going to be competitive. So it does enable you to go have a good day, to shoot one of your better scores and be able to win. You know, and that's kind of the cool thing about it as well. Cause I think ultimately everybody there has the ability to go lower than their handicap. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's for the taking, certainly.
Most definitely is. It most definitely is.
But the competitive sides, that's what I'm looking forward to. Like, just feeling those nerves a little bit again, you know what I'm saying? Caring about something, getting back into that mode a little bit of just, you know, I know we run little games every now and then, you know, when we're out in the course, but, you know, the stakes seem higher on this. You know, Zach and I were talking before the episode of just like, you know, we got buddies who, yeah, are not as good at golf as us. But based on the handicap, let me tell you, if they go out and start to rattle off some wins and start to beat us, we are definitely going to be hearing some shit talking from them. So, like, there's just no doubt about it. Like, you know, regardless, yes, they can't say, hey, we're better at golf than you, but they can say, hey, we beat you today, you know? So it's just one of those things where, you know, you want to do good, because, you know, I don't want a 25 handicap talking shit to me. I'm going to be frank with you.
I think there's a lot of motivation all in all with the Friends Tour. I mean, shit, we see everybody playing in the lead up to it. One of our friends has played damn near 8 straight days now. He's getting locked in. So
yeah, I think today's day 9. I think he said.
Yeah,
it's crazy. With day 10 looming,
and maybe day 11 on Monday.
Yeah, but just crazy for sure. It's definitely re-motivated everybody to get back out there
for sure, and just continue to play and play more and get better. And I think, you know, some of the higher handicaps, especially, like, just, I don't know. You see the journey of kind of us, I would say. Like, obviously you've touched on it a little bit before, you weren't the best golfer in high school when you were playing, and the journey that you've made from there to here, obviously I think has motivated some of our friends that have picked the game up a little bit late too. They kind of see, you know, where you've gotten, where I've gotten, and they can envision that for themselves as well. So
yeah, golf's changed a lot, man. It's crazy. Like, I sit and talk to some of these guys, like, in our friend group that, like, are higher handicaps, and I'm just like, you guys don't even get it. Like, you really don't. Like, bro, I have had some of the most embarrassing times of my entire life on a golf course. I mean, I remember my sophomore year, we went to Jefferson Country Club in Newark. You know, I played at Newark High. We went to Jefferson Country Club, and I'm telling you, I picked up a club in the summer going into my freshman year. That was the first time I ever even touched. I mean, obviously as a kid, I'm sure I went out and swung some clubs a little bit in the backyard or whatnot, but like, actually to genuinely care about logging a score, I did not touch a club until I was, you know, going on to my freshman year of high school. So I was 13 years old. I remember going out to a 9-hole course and shooting like 70. on the nine. You know what I mean? Just can't even get the ball where you needed to go. None of that. And it's just like these guys go out and they'll shoot a 101 or a 102, you know, on a relatively tougher track and be like, this is just unacceptable. And I'll be like, dude, you picked up a club 2 years ago. Like when I picked up a club, I was shooting 130s. And that's what I was getting to. I shot 130 in a high school match in an invitational. Shot 70 on one side, 60 on the other. And I'm like, I'm just like, sometimes the perspective is just, it's just not there. And I got to remind these cats, I think it obviously helps when you play with people that have been playing. Like when I got first started in golf, none of you guys would play. Any of you. I tried to get cats to play on the high school team. No, we ain't doing it. You know, it wasn't until really later in our high school time that you guys actually, once we were able to start like actually driving ourselves, and like going to golf courses and getting golf carts, that people actually really wanted to golf. But yeah, I mean, the amount of embarrassing times I've had. I mean, I remember my senior year, bro. I literally shot 101 at sectionals. You know what I mean? I thought I was going to go out, and my senior year, I wasn't terrible necessarily. I mean, I was kind of an 80s player for the most part. But then, yeah, I was like, you know, gassing myself up, going into sectionals, and went out, blew up a 101. I'm pretty sure at a 13 on a par three, I blew four shots OB, like right in a row off the tee box, just OB, 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 OB. And I'm just like, yeah, this is it. I'm cooked. I'm done.
I'm cooked.
I'm cooked, bro. I mean, what can you do about that? You know what yeah. I mean? So I find the progression funny when you talk to these guys and they're pissed about a, you know, a 101, you know, when they picked up a club last year. And I'm like, yeah.
You got back on the saddle though. You put the put the saddle back on the horse, got back on the horse, ready to go.
Yeah.
Started grinding some more. And some of the, I've heard a couple of them already say, oh, I'm ready to give up. I'm ready to be done. Like you just picked it up a couple years ago. Not time to give it up yet. You got 50 more years to play.
Brother, it's all expectations. And I think in life, we all want to be good at things. Like everybody wants to be good at things. Like you want to pick it up. And some people think, you know, they're the exception to the rule. I'm reading this book right now, and it's funny. They were talking about one of the doctors in there who said people always think that whatever situation you give them, they'll be like, oh, that'll never happen to me. That's not me. Like I'm the exception. Oh, you know, somebody my age, you know, not to get morbid, but, you know, got cancer from doing this. Oh no, I'm good. I can do whatever I want to my body and I don't have to worry about that. You know, that's most people's thought process and that carries over into everything. So it's like, oh, because I was good at basketball or because I was good at football in high school, you know, all of a sudden I think that because I'm going to pick up this golf club that suddenly I'm just going to go out and, you know, start shooting 80s and 70s. Like, bro, that's just not reality of life. And definitely not reality of golf. Golf is, in my opinion, one of the hardest sports out there. I know there's a large debate, you know, out there about what the most difficult thing to do is. I know baseball, hitting the baseball, you know, in major leagues, 98 mile an hour. I mean, I can't even go to the batting cages and hit at 55. So like, I get that, but like the sport as a whole, I would say, you know, golf is just, man, you're on an island out there all by yourself. You got nobody else to fall back on. And the act of hitting a baseball might be harder, but like the act of stringing together 18 good holes, the fact of stringing together swing after swing after swing and having bad, you know, that mental,
the mental
you're in out there is just, it's tough, man.
The mental is something that's unmatched in any other sport, in my opinion. Baseball is probably the closest that it gets because there is a lot of it's a mental game and mental battles that go on between the batter and the pitcher, et cetera. But golf is number one by far, not even close in terms of that. You're battling with you, yourself, and the course. And it's just, you know, just an ongoing war for 18 holes straight, you know, just between you, yourself, and the golf course. So,
I mean, I know, you know, you hear people talk about it a lot. Yeah, I'm just, you know, it's me versus the course. But let's be real, in competitive events, you're also thinking about what everybody else is doing as well. Mm-hmm. So there's that fact of it, because it's like, you want to focus on just the course. You want to think that it's just you versus the course. Let me go. And maybe it is, but ultimately there's other playing competitors out there, and it's hard not to let those things creep in when you know, especially if you're in a competitive environment, you know, and you're able to look at leaderboards or look at things like on our app. I'm sure if we all, you know, if the rule is going to be that we have everybody log score after score and you can pull up your phone during the middle of the round and see what everybody else is doing on the course, like, yeah, that's going to be a huge thing. And it's going to be hard not to look. Like I think human nature is just like curiosity. You know what I mean? So it's going to be hard to be like through nine holes and be like, no, don't look at the phone. Don't look at the leaderboard. It's be like, no, I want to look at the leaderboard. Like, I want to see what's going on. And then you're like, shit, I'm five fucking shots back, bro. Like, what am I going to do going in this back nine? And then it's like, okay, now I have to think I'm five shots back. Now I got to be aggressive. And it's like, now I got to go do this. And then, you know, somebody could blow up on a hole and you didn't even really need to be aggressive, but now you blew up on a hole because you tried to bite off more than you could chew, you know, and it's just balancing all of these different things at once. It's just, it's freaking sick, man. Like, it really is. Yep. It's awesome.
Best part about golf, in my opinion, is that side of things. Not necessarily the physical swing aspect and making the shots, but just the internal battles that there are, you know, shot to shot, hole to hole, round to round, whatever it may be.
Yeah. It's so deep, dude, because like I was playing the other day and just like even something as simple as like, you know, I'm pretty long off the tee. I would say probably the longest in our friend group. And so for me, that's like something I convince myself in my head is like a strength. And so when you see guys like blowing it past you or you see a guy stuff it, you know, nobody talks about, you know, that side of things too. When you're playing, competitors are like tucked it in close. And now you're like, oh my God, dude, now I got to contend with this too. And then you start thinking about it. Like, I remember on hole nine, I was playing with a guy and literally hole nine virtues, water, like a bean shaped green, you know, it almost reminds me of kind of 12. Like number 12. Yeah. And it's just like I watched him stuff it to like 3 feet and I'm just like, what a fucking shot. And then I go fucking hit it short. I mean, I hit it not enough. It literally hits the bank and rolls back down in the water. And it's like, did that shot influence me? Yeah, kind of did a little bit, because I'm like, now I got to go flag hunting. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, you really got to figure out how to stay in your own lane, which is just really, really fucking hard to do.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. So what else we got? What else we want to talk about today? You have anything you're looking forward to past the Friends Tour this summer? Anything on the docket? I know that you got a big wedding you're planning for 2026. Is there anything big that's going on for that this summer?
Yeah, I don't know necessarily yet. I mean, I'm going to guess yes. We actually have our first meeting with our wedding venue on Monday. So I think a lot more details are going to come out in that. Just kind of obviously have to set up some things with catering and photographer and, you know, the whole nine and start really putting the plan together. But you know, luckily we're still over a year out, so it hasn't really, you know, I mean, obviously, I mean, I was already thinking that the other day. I'm like, we went and saw our venue the first week in February, like the first weekend. I think it was like the 2nd of February because, you know, January ended during the middle of the week. And so, you know, and now I'm like, dude, it's already May. Like it was like a year and 6 months out. And now we're just shy of a year out and it's like a blink of an eye. It's already gone by. So, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to it, you know, excited about, you know, what all it's going to bring. I'm excited about business. Business has started to boom again for us over here at Old Case and Home Loans. So definitely it's been a slow start to the year. So very, 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 very excited about that. You know, definitely been good to see things get back to where they were previous. What about you? What's your past wedding, you know, got married last year, you know, I mean, I know you got an anniversary coming up. Anything you're looking forward to past the Friends Tour this summer?
Number one, I cannot believe it's been a year already. It's absolutely nuts. We were watching the draft on Thursday night and I looked over at Cameron and I'm like, it's been a year. I was literally in Pinehurst watching this last year. Like it is, it's crazy how fast this has gone. And it's just, it just speaks back to obviously the prep period too. We were kind of like you guys. We booked our venue about 16 months out, so almost a year and a half. And just at that point, it just, you know, it feels like fucking forever away. Like you never think it's gonna get here, and then it just by the snap of your fingers, I'm telling you, like that, it is right here. And again, by the snap of our fingers, we're a year out, or we're already married a year. It's just, we've touched on it in previous episodes, but time stops for absolutely nobody. So it's always going to go quick and, you know, just trying to enjoy the days as they come. Stop and smell the roses sometimes for sure. But for the 1 year anniversary, I don't know. For those of you who don't know as well, we actually got married on my birthday too. So it's my birthday and anniversary moving forward. So it's just going to be a big old celebration every single year for sure. And usually it falls on Memorial Day weekend too. So just all in all, just a fun weekend to be expecting going forward. But this year we're actually taking a trip to Costa Rica, going to Guanacaste, Costa Rica, which is on the Pacific coast of Costa Rica. So first time seeing the Pacific Ocean, super excited about that. My parents have been to Costa Rica. They have both said that that is their favorite vacation destination that they have ever been to. The saying there is pura vida, which is pure life. So everybody says that it's just super laid back, super relaxed, and just, you know, happy and pure. So I'm super excited to see the vibe there. Yeah, just all in all, super excited. There's a lot of national parks there. There's some active volcanoes, I guess. It's like the surfing capital of the world. Not sure I'm going to try that, but there's a lot.
Yeah, I would like to see you do that. I need some video. I need video evidence of that, though. I would actually love to watch you try to hop up on a surfboard. That would be awesome.
Yeah. I'm probably not going to happen. I'm not going to lie to you.
I could see it. You might as well grow the hair out, you know, before you get out there too, you know, just, yeah. I mean, just really embrace the surfer boy vibes, you know, I mean, might as well.
Oh man. But it'll be fun though. Have a couple layovers. This is my first time traveling with a credit card that gives me access to a travel lounge. So I'm unbelievably excited about that. Get to sit away from the commoners and get some free food, free drinks.
The commoners. Might as well just said the peasants. The Lord. Peasants, whatever. Oh my gosh.
No, but you understand how, I don't know. Me personally, when I get to an airport and I see the gate with no seats available, or there's like one seat in between just rows of people, like, oh my God. It just, you know, and usually when you get to the airport, you're there 2.5 hours beforehand. So you're literally just sitting there in those uncomfortable ass seats and staring at your phone for 2.5 hours, whatever it may be. So hopefully this lounge experience is a little bit different.
Well, I'm sure it'll be fire. You know, I mean, there's gotta be perks if everybody wants to go in there. So, I think it'd be cool.
For sure, for sure. And then later on in the summer, we're trying to coordinate a little trip out to like Yellowstone National Park and go up to Montana, go to Bozeman and Big Sky, Montana, and see some things up there. We did a trip out west a couple of years ago, flew into Vegas, went up to Zion National Park and Grand Canyon, and that was one of our favorite trips that we ever took. Just super picturesque and nature, and just a not very relaxing trip by any means, but just, you know, visually speaking, it was a top tier trip by all accounts. And so heard the summertime out in Montana and Yellowstone is a great time to get out there. So going to try and check that out as well.
That'd be cool. Yeah. I have never been wester or further west than Missouri. So
that was the first time I'm
on the list.
Yeah. That was the first time I've ever been out that out west, was the trip to Vegas and Zion. It's very vast. It's a lot of nothing. Like, it is crazy when we were driving from Zion, which is in southern Utah, down to like Grand Canyon, which is in the middle of Arizona. Didn't see civilization for almost like 3 hours, and it's a little nervy, can't lie, when you have no service on your phone, and, you know, hopefully this car is in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely hope that for sure.
Yeah.
That would be not ideal, get stranded out there, especially for you two. That would be like, you know, worst case scenario.
Yeah, it would be not.
Can't
fun.
Imagine how that would go over.
Not
fun. A lot of stress.
Yeah.
A lot of stress, that's for sure.
But yeah. Also, no weddings this year too. So that's a change up from last year compared to my wedding and then being a groomsman and two additional ones. So no weddings in 2025, leaving that to my wife, who is what are they called? Bridesmaid in two weddings this year too. So I was about to say maid of honor. Obviously she's not the maid of honor, so she's just a bridesmaid.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be nice to have a little bit of a break from weddings. I had back-to-back years. I think I had 6 total weddings in back-to-back years that I was a part of, and then there was like another 2 that we went to, so like 8 weddings in 2 years is just it's sick work, honestly. Let's just be honest. So But yeah, definitely good to take a break, obviously, before ours coming up next year. And hopefully should be a little bit, you know, a lot of our friends in our friend group that are, you know, either past that, they've already gotten married, and, you know, others are not necessarily in the place where that's going to be happening on that same timeline. Like, we're not going to have multiple next year in the same friend group. So that'll be good. And yeah, I mean, weddings are obviously fun, but it's definitely a toll on anybody who is, I wouldn't say a toll in a negative way, but it is just, you know, a lot when you have three weddings, you got three bachelor trips, you got three wedding days, you got rehearsal dinners, you know, you got just a whole lot of things going on. And it's just, you know, that's not to mention what you got going on in your own life as well. So, but wouldn't trade any of it. They were awesome weddings and, good times. So hopefully, you know, ours can live up to the set standard, you know, out there that was put forth.
I have no doubts, brother. Zero doubts.
Oh, me either. You know, knowing my fiance, it's definitely going to be a great event. So, we're definitely looking forward to it. But yeah, I mean, I only got one trip. I think we're going to go down to Florida, see my brother. My brother lives in Florida, so he's got a weekend or can take some time off here in June. So I think we may go down for a couple of days, go hang out with them, which I haven't been down to Florida. And I went down last year and in February. So he usually comes home to see all of us. So it'll be nice to change the pace a little bit and go down to see him. That way he doesn't have to fly back to see us. And yeah, I mean, other than that, summer is, I don't know, you know, we always usually get into the same sort of things. You know, we'll have a couple boat days out there, get out to the lakes. We'll, you know, go out to the lake itself. We actually have a lake here local, which I'm sure most of you guys who are listening are local listeners. So, you know, Buckeye Lake, but they got lots of restaurants and just different stuff happening around there. So it's always good vibes out there in the summer to go out and just hang out, have a good time with the friends. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, you'll find that a lot of what we do is just golf, you know, just be honest, you know,
and kicking it with the buds. That's for sure.
Yep. Kicking it with the boys, doing some golf. So, you know, I mean, I'm sure, you know, here come later this year, you know, we'll be announcing that I was the winner of the Friends Tour. So, you know, you guys just go ahead and prepare yourselves for that. You know, we'll keep you up to date as time goes on, but you know, I don't want to say it's already a coronation, but you know, go ahead and get that trophy ready.
I like the confidence out of you for sure.
No, I'm just kidding.
I like it. Now that when you mentioned Florida though, that I brought me another thing that we have going on this summer. We haven't been to Florida in a couple years. Well, no, okay, I take that back. We just went November, but before that we hadn't been in a couple of years. And my wife's brother actually lives down there, and sister-in-law and niece, and so getting down there is a good time to see them, obviously. But she is actually, the niece is coming up here to Ohio and staying with us and her grandparents for almost 4 weeks, on June 1st to like June 28th. Yeah, so it'll be a fun little test run with our niece. She's now 4 years old, going to be five in July. So it's crazy how fast time is flying already in her life. And she's a bundle of joy. She's a great time. So super excited about that, for her to come up here and spend some time with us as well.
Hey, maybe opening the door to something for you, huh? You know,
you kids never in know. The future.
You never know. Could be on the horizon, you know, Uncle Sam 2.0, you know, let's make it happen.
Little Summer does need a cousin, I would say, at some point.
It's good to see that you've changed your stance on that overall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to be a good dad.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Oh.
Well, shit, bud. We are 54, almost 55 minutes into the Saturday Talks episode edition of the Closing the Deal podcast. This was a good one. I enjoyed this a lot.
Yeah, it was fun. Kind of nice to just set aside the real estate world a little bit and, you know, just kind of chop it up about, you know, what we got going on in life. So yeah, we'll have to, obviously talked about some things that we'll have to update the people on. I'm sure they're going to be curious about, you know, Costa Rica, if they were ever, ever interested, you know, in going down there. I'm sure they're going to want to, you know, firsthand recap on, the reviews for that. And, you know,
Friends Tour. Got to give Friends updates store, on that. Yeah,
got to give updates on that. Got to make sure they know who's who and who's winning. And should be interesting. I mean, the projected forecast for first events like 40 degrees. So could take half the field and wipe them out, you know, could not even show up. Could be anybody's race, you know. So should be a good time. I mean, obviously nobody likes playing when their hands are freezing cold, but could be one of those events that really just defines, you know, who's got the grit to just withstand, you know, cold temperatures and what I would presume is going to be some very bad golf being played in general. So should be a good time.
For sure.
All right, y'all. Well, that's all we got for you today. So appreciate you guys tuning in. If you guys want to see more stuff like this, I mean, obviously we've already talked about maybe doing some more episodes down the line of just, you know, Saturday Talks, but obviously feel free to give us your feedback and, you know, always curious to know what you guys think just about real estate podcasts or, you know, podcasts like this in general. You know, we would love to do a Q&A episode coming up here before long. So I think we may run some polls for that to kind of field your guys' questions, anything you guys have, you know, mortgage or real estate related. That way we can kind of help answer those. But appreciate you guys tuning in. And yeah, feel free to give us a like, subscribe, follow all the platforms, YouTube, Instagram. You know, you guys can find us on there.
Awesome, guys. Well, hopefully you guys enjoyed today's episode, and we'll be seeing you guys on the next one.